In this podcast, Dr. Dick McCann, co-author of Team Management Systems, explores Aesop's management fables. This volume contains stories which equate everyday work behavior with endearing and sometimes not so endearing animal characteristics. Each story is accompanied with a case study in sensible solutions, making this a valuable learning resource for all.
Aesop's Management Fables is a book of 150 pages that Jan Stewart and I wrote several years ago. It's a collection of 17 individual and team stories created to highlight common management failures that we've both experienced throughout our long careers. Storytelling is an important part of everyone's life. Through storytelling, we know so much more about our ancestors and their beliefs than we would without it. Stories celebrate achievements, inspire performance, and capture cultural codes for living. Everybody loves a story. Children are entranced by them. Go to a party and notice how everyone stops and listens to somebody telling a story. Stories are a way of learning, and in all cultures are handed down from generation to generation to pass on the collective wisdom of previous ages. We've both conducted management training workshops for many years. When various models are presented and details discussed, eyes glaze over within a few moments. However, when the same principles are illustrated by a story or an anecdote, the participants remember the story for years to come. We started our work with a story about a frog. We wrote it for a segment of a management development workshop and accompanied it with sounds of a bullfrog. The story was highly effective in highlighting a major problem that many action-oriented managers have. As I read it to you, consider whether you know anyone like this. Life had been peaceful in the billabong. Everyone got on with their own lives. All were happy to believe that the world stopped at the edge of the water. Only the frogs came and went. Everyone else stayed happily in the warm, calm water. Occasionally, a new fish or insect would be washed into the little billabong from the side creek that kept the water fresh and moving. But little else disturbed their tranquil existence. There were many families of frogs who lived in and around the billabong. They used the pond as a nursery for their eggs. Their young tadpoles had a safe home in which to mature. It was springtime. The tadpoles were sprouting legs and learning to leave the water for short spells. It seemed no time at all before they were perfect little frogs. One of the young frogs was a lively, inquisitive green frog with the biggest eyes you can imagine. Now he was old enough, he spent his days jumping around the billabong, discovering all the interesting nooks and crannies. Their occupants were not at all pleased to see him, but he didn't worry about that. He was having fun. He liked to see where they lived and was quite unaware that his continued visits and interruptions were spoiling their once halcyon days in the billabong. As he matured, he went on forays up and down the creek, poking his nose into everyone's business and making it difficult for others to get on with their daily lives. One day, he found this wonderful new billabong. Where there was no one else living, it was surrounded by large trees which let their branches dip into the water. He was enchanted. It was perfect for him and his young frog friends. They could set up a new home here without the interference of any of the older frogs. He was so excited, he could hardly wait to get back and gather his friends together. He hopped off home, his heart pounding with the great news. On his return, he told all the young frogs what he had seen. He described this new paradise in glowing terms and persuaded them all that it could be their new home. They would have tremendous fun, and he listed all the thrilling things they could accomplish if they were on their own. Convinced that he was right and this wonderful place must exist, the young frogs followed their new leader to the bounteous billabong at the other side of the forest. They arrived and were delighted to find that the place of their dreams did exist. It was a truly awesome abode for the young frogs. Without hesitation, they jumped into the water and investigated all the banks, looking for comfortable places where they could live. Within 12 hours, they were all asleep. never to awaken again. No one had thought to ask why the pond was uninhabited. Effluent from the chemical factory further up the creek contained poisonous chemicals which had polluted the pond, killing all the previous inhabitants. Had the young frog and his friends investigated further, they would have seen that the trees were dying and their branches were dipping into the pond as they wilted. The water was a mysterious, misty blue. The frog story prompted us to create 16 other stories crafted around common management foibles, resulting in this collection of Aesop's management fables. The original Aesop's fables were a collection of stories attributed to the Greek slave Aesop, who lived around 600 BC. Most of the characters are animals that talk and act like humans, illustrating the failings and virtues of human nature in simple, often humorous ways. Perhaps the best-known Aesop's fable is The Tortoise and the Hare. The theory behind learning from stories is complex, and as with all matters regarding the working of the human brain, there's still much research to be carried out before it's fully explored, understood, and explained. In brief, stories are taken in and understood at the first attention level. The left brain processes the words, while the right brain is actively filling in the gaps. Good writers choose visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and olfactory words to give the story depth and to stimulate the right brain to enrich the meaning of the story and store it in the memory for easy recall. The information in the story can also be captured at the second attention level as the brain searches for a deeper meaning. At this level, the right brain is often favored as relationships and patterns are developed. The second attention level is where the story is reformulated to have personal relevance. Sometimes the story stays at this level and stimulates unconscious behavioral change, or it can rise into the first attention level through an aha moment. Ideally, a good story will be easily understood at the first attention level, but stimulate a search for deeper meaning at some time in the future. In formulating each chapter, we decided to follow a teaching format that's been very successful for us. The first section contains an animal story, the second an equivalent management case study, and the third draws out the major learning points. The book will help you link everyday behaviours in the work environment with endearing, and not so endearing, animal characteristics. This has the double benefit of making these behaviours more understandable and hence less threatening. The wombat, weaver bird, frog, and peacock managers are favourite fables of mine. I love the advice for a peacock manager. If you think all around you are incompetent and slow, make sure the problem is not the size of your ego. In the team section, I particularly like the geese and beaver stories. The beaver story is a great one to illustrate the need for strategic thinking in teams. Further details on Aesop's management fables can be found in the book section of the TMS online store. Check out our website at tms.com.au and go to the online store books page. If you're a management or team development facilitator, these stories will add something different to your workshops.
You've been listening to a podcast by Team Management Systems. For more information, please visit our website at tmsworldwide.com.